From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of December 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the Greater Peoria Farm Show, where earlier agricultural economist Joe Jansen made a presentation on commodity markets. We'll talk with him about that presentation and what he sees for the coming year. And then we'll turn our attention to the Ag Safety Conference, which is taking place today and tomorrow on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign, and includes tomorrow between 9 and noon a demonstration of autonomous agriculture, including things like robotic dogs, at the Stock Pavilion. And it's open to the public. We'll hear from Salah Issa, agricultural engineer and safety specialist, about that open to the public demonstration and why you should think about showing up tomorrow at the Stock Pavilion. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather too. That with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Public Radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
No update of the prices from the CME Group today as I'm working the Greater Peoria Farm Show, where University of Illinois Extension is making presentations today, tomorrow, and on Thursday. Today, the Ag Economist took the stage. Tomorrow, most of the crop scientists will be here, and you're invited, of course. It's at the Peoria Civic Center. Parking and entrance is free for the Greater Peoria Farm Show. Check out all the details online. Look up the Greater Peoria Farm Show. Now, let's turn our attention to one of the presentations made by the agricultural economist this morning. Joe Jansen is here. Hi, Joe. Thank you for being with us. Let's start with the key items you were hoping to get across when making your presentation today.
Maybe not news, but it's a fact that we are in a period of long run lower prices, where we've settled in a corn price around $4 and a soybean price around $10. We're a little bit below that on beans, a little bit above that maybe on corn right at this minute. But we're in a longer run period of low prices. It's going to take something significant to move us out of this state. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty about what supply and demand for corn and beans looks like, especially as we transition to a new administration in Washington. But that's the story that we have as of right now.
I would say one of the key takeaways that I saw, and I think this is important, is that while you say it will take something significant, tariffs may not have been that thing that you were thinking about that would move it significantly lower.
I think, USDA, we've seen relatively strong export movement for 24-25 for the current marketing year. For both corn and soybeans in the last couple of months, there is some sort of like pullback in trade that's already, I think, built into our projections for next year. Now, obviously, we could see some short-run gyrations, particularly as, the tariff situation, whatever that is, unfolds over the next number of months. But it's also true that part of what that export demand piece is it's a bit of a buffer that soaks up demand in periods of low prices. It's a lot more flexible, and it doesn't necessarily mean substantially lower prices if we move to a period of restricted global trade.
I suppose I should qualify that as the season's average cash price would not be substantially lower over time. But as you suggested, that there would be a wider range. On the flip side, weather could, or some other disruption in the marketplace that would limit production or movement from other places, might actually push prices higher.
That's true. Although, and I talked a little bit about this, we saw a pretty good crop here in the United States in aggregate, the national yield number coming in above expectations. But I think there's also a scenario in which that national yield number gets substantially larger. We've seen deviations from the long run trend level yields of, plus or minus 10 bushels an acre. That's very normal in our historical experience. This year, we were only maybe a couple of bushels above that. So there's a scenario in which we see a 187, 190 bushel per acre corn crop in the United States in aggregate across the whole country. That would, you know, weigh on prices.
On larger acreage as well.
And the other part is we expect to see a swing to back to corn acres and away from beans slightly. Current USDA numbers are a national planted acreage number of 92 million acres in the U.S. for corn next year in 2025. That is, you know, where the market's at right now, maybe buying a few more corn acres relative to beans.
USDA and those baseline acreages, those are released at the end of October, early November, and will be updated in January, and then we'll get some additional numbers eventually, and official numbers that go into the supply and demand figures in May show at this point a $3.90 season average cash price per corn, that 92 million acres, $10.80 per soybeans. How many acres?
I think we're right at in that 85, 86 million acre range. The specific tenth of a million acres number avoids me at the moment, Todd. But that's sort of where I think USDA is projecting maybe a little bit more strength in soybean prices over time, is a pullback in acreage relative to what we saw in 2024. If we see, you know, the soybean market more well supplied, I think there's room to move down from USDA's expectations, at least for soybean prices. I consider sort of $4 corn and $10 beans to be sort of my long run numbers.
You've been doing some research on when producers market. I can recall oftentimes that Darrell Good would tell producers the best time to market a crop in any given year, generally speaking, is March, April, May. And then there are some other times, but those 3 months are usually pretty good. However, farmers don't market ahead very often, according to the research you've been able to pull from the Farm Business Farm Management numbers.
That's right. So when we look at sort of actual producer marketing behavior for the farms who are enrolled in Illinois FBFM, we see a lot of farms avoiding pre-harvest grain marketing. And as Darrell and I think many other people would say, there is sort of a seasonal tendency for prices to be higher on average prior to harvest than they are at harvest. There's a benefit to conducting some pre-harvest marketing. We see a significant number of farms. This is not sort of universally true, but a significant number of farms that don't do much pre-harvest marketing at all. And I think that's a missed opportunity, particularly in the current environment where, you know, the wins in grain marketing, if you will, are kind of small, and you kind of need to be able to capture them whenever they come along.
Anything else before I let you go?
No, Todd, I just encourage people to come out. We'll be around the state in the next few weeks at the Illinois Farm Economics Summits in Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb. We look forward to seeing a lot of people there.
Joe Jansen is an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. As you know, he will be one of the folks that will join us for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up a week from this Friday at the iHotel in Urbana-Champaign. You still have time to register. Don't wait. Do it right now. Today is the day. You'll need to do that. Online at willag.org, willag.org. Click the Farm Assets Conference. Joe Jansen will be there, along with Nick Paulson and Gary Schnitke, many others. You can see the full agenda online. It's a day-long event, worthwhile every year to come see. This is our 10th annual Farm Assets Conference, so it should be a good one. I hope to see you there on Friday the 13th at the iHotel in Champaign. Now, speaking of conferences, the Ag Safety Conference is taking place this week on campus. In a moment, we'll talk with Salah Issa about it and a demonstration to take place tomorrow at the Stock Pavilion on campus. I think you'll find of real interest and should probably attend. So first, I know, Salah, that you have a conference that's coming up. Registration has closed for it. There is a demonstration that comes along with it. I want to talk about that in just a moment. But can you tell me about this, I believe, second annual conference on agricultural safety and what you hope to do and who's gathered for it and why you have organized it?
Yeah, this is our Safer Ag Workshop 2.0. It's the goal of it is bringing together manufacturing, researchers, government, and farmers all together under the same roof to discuss what are their safety or community concerns regarding autonomous robotics. The idea is to prepare what are the gaps that we need to address, whether it's through research standard or policy, before autonomous agriculture becomes basically the main way that a person farms.
Yeah, so the way I think about this, generally speaking, is that you're ahead of what the safety issues might be with autonomous agriculture, unlike what has happened in the past, for instance, rollover protection systems or ROPs on tractors, which were added after too many tractors had rolled over and too many deaths or injuries had occurred, correct?
Exactly. So we're trying to address this problem before it becomes a problem. Tractors, you know, they were invented in the early 1900s, but only had rollover protective structures mandated in the 1970s when they became a common tool in farming communities. So we're trying to avoid that before there's injuries, before people are hurt. We're trying to address these potential concerns.
All right. So you have many people coming in from all kinds of interested parties. They could be John Deere or Case IH, Caterpillar. They might be government officials, university functions as well. Others that are interested, they'll gather and talk about this, and you go through a workshop system with them. But there is also a demonstration that will take place in the Stock Pavilion here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. This sounds like something that's really interesting, and it's open to the public?
Yes. So on December 4th, from 9 a.m. to noon, we're holding a wonderful exhibit/demonstration for both our conference attendees and for the whole community. And we're really, really excited for this. And we believe it's going to be a wonderful event, actually.
What'll happen there?
So we have... What we have, it's a mixture between an exhibit and demo. We have 14 different exhibitors that are coming to show us different equipment that can be used in agriculture, whether it's exoskeletons, drones, robotics, other safety features that can be implemented directly on somebody's farm. And then in addition, we have every half an hour, we have different demonstrations. So we have demonstrations that are being held by EarthSense. They're going to show some of their latest work and technology. We have demonstrations conducted by Berkey's. We have a demonstration that will be conducted by our Center for Autonomous Construction Manufacturing at Scale, and potentially also our Center of Autonomy. And then we also have a demonstration focused on animals, and you'll get to see robotic dogs and other models, how they interact with animals as well. So there's quite a lot going on, and it's free. You can just park anywhere on Pennsylvania Avenue and just come on in and get to enjoy this. We really would love to have you.
So have you arranged for parking, or you're parking and you need to pay while you're there?
It's metered parking.
Okay, metered
so
parking.
You'd have to pay for metered
parking. Yeah, just as long as you can.
I should have clarified that.
Yeah. Just making sure, because I didn't want somebody to get a ticket because they're expensive on campus. But you can park along Pennsylvania Avenue and then just come to the Stock Pavilion. Runs from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. It should be a really good morning. 3 hours of events. And every half hour, something new. For those of you who are not familiar with agriculture and its adoption of technology, it is early and fast. You would not think that that would be the case. There are a few things, but normally adoption within agriculture is early and fast. So the things that you will see there may already be somewhat into the system or very soon into the system. And it'll just, I'm going to be there. I will find a way to arrange my morning so that I'm going to be there, because I can hardly wait to see what's happening in the Stock Pavilion. So it sounds like just an extraordinary morning.
I think it's going to be. And we'd love to have you, Todd.
Oh, well, we'll try to be there. And if nothing else, I'll try to get some photos up on the willag.org website to make sure that people see some of the things that are happening. But if you have, I would say this, if you have a high school student who is interested in robotics, autonomous automobiles, if they're interested in any of those sorts of things, you should have them come. If they are artistic, they probably need to come. The arts are kind of weird in this spot, but I think they will find some things of interest. Mathematics, of course, computer sciences, and then all of the rest of the normal agricultural functions like crop sciences, as well as agricultural economics, because these things only work if you can pay for them properly. So it's really important. It's open to everybody, and it might just click with your young person's ideas of what they might be able to do in the future. And so I don't know how you came up with the idea for this demonstration, but I think it will be a centerpiece for the College of ACES Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences for a long time. At least I hope it will.
That's something I hope as well. And yeah, I'm trying to find ways I can get my my daughter's school to send their kids there, because it's definitely open for anybody, and I think it's worth getting to see where agriculture will be heading in the near future.
Me too. Salah Issa is the organizer of the Ag Safety Conference that's taking place on the University of Illinois campus this week and tomorrow. You're invited to the Ag Safety Demonstration for Autonomous Agriculture that will take place in the Stock Pavilion between 9 a.m. and noon. That's on Pennsylvania in Urbana. We hope to see you there. A week from this coming Friday on the campus at the University of Illinois, we'll host the 10th Annual Farm Assets Conference. I sure hope that you plan to make it there. It should be a great day. We'll kick things off at 8 o'clock in the morning. Emily Heaton will join us from the U of I, along with Giovanni Prezafontes and Gary Schnitke. Now, all of them have been working in the conservation and precision agriculture area. Emily and Giovanni are both agronomists in the Department of Crop Science. Gary, of course, an agricultural economist. Practical advice for conservation management on your farms. I think this will continue to be one of the driving forces in agriculture going forward. We'll follow that up by discussing the standing of commercial lenders in the agricultural sector. Josie Rudolphi will also join us. She's a mental health and farm safety specialist for the University of Illinois. And Brittany Goodrich will be there to talk about federal crop insurance products. You might consider some different things this year, or maybe the crop insurance products that we're familiar with don't quite fit your farm. We'll talk about that early in the morning, and then we'll be joined by Eric Snodgrass from Conduit Ag. Brad Swilling will be there from the Illinois FBFM, and Nick Polson will discuss how to manage farm input costs going into this coming very tight profit margin year. Speaking of which, farm policies will be really important to support the agricultural community in the coming year. And Jonathan Kappas will help us through the mire of Washington, D.C., followed up by a discussion of South American crop prospects from Joanna Colusi here on campus. And then the crop scientist will take the stage, including the plant pathologist, the weed scientist, the soil scientist, and the entomologist for a broad-ranging discussion of the issues you might face going forward that include herbicide issues, potential problems, of course, in your fields of all kinds of things as it's related to weeds, diseases, and insect pressure. And as we close out the day, we'll have a Grain Market Outlook panel, including Joe Jansen, Matt Bennett, Brian Stark, and Colin Waters. Colin is the logistics specialist at the Illinois Corn Growers Association. You can sign up for the Farm Assets Conference right now online at willag.org, willag.org. But don't wait. Sign up, register today. The conference is on Friday, December the 13th at the I Hotel here in Champaign. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks, Don, for taking some time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin here in the United States. We're in the midst of a cold snap. I take it that's going to end fairly soon?
Well, yeah, we are going to see a little up and down. Right now we're down with temperatures, but we do see, as we head into the second half of the week, a brief warm-up, but very brief, because it's only going to last for about a day or so. There's going to be another surge of Canadian air coming in behind a cold front that's going to be moving in here as we get to the end of the week. So as we get into Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend, it's going to be pretty cold across the whole eastern side of the nation. So although there might be a little bit of a brief warm-up midweek, the end of the week and the weekend, we'll see below average temperatures and really pretty cold temperatures for everybody east of the Mississippi. And that should last through Saturday. As we get into early next week, we'll start to see temperatures moderating again.
Do we have snow cover across parts of the Midwest, and how much, and or precipitation that will be coming yet?
Well, to answer your question first, snow cover, yeah. I mean, we now have snow cover as farthest we've seen so far this season. We have snow on the ground as far south as southern Illinois and Missouri, and then into the mountains of North Carolina, getting some snow last night. And we've got pretty good snow cover now across many areas of North Dakota, the northern half of Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Of course, the Great Lakes states, for anybody who watched football this past weekend, the Great Lakes states getting a lot of lake effect snows, and they're going to be getting some more.
And finally, turn your attention to South America. Any places of concern?
Well, for the most part, the precipitation in South America, their start of their growing season, has been pretty good and pretty widespread, whether it's Argentina, whether it's Brazil. And at least here in the next 7 to 10 days, we're expecting precipitation to continue to fall in some of the key growing areas. That would be central and southern areas of Brazil and the central and northern areas of Argentina. We are going to see maybe conditions just slightly below average in the growing areas of the central states of Brazil, but for the most part, no really big concern so far for their season.
Anything else before I let you go?
No, I think that's it, other than the fact that meteorological winter started on December 1st, and the timing of the cold weather seems to coincide with that very well.
Yeah, I kind of made note of that. Thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it. Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. From the Greater Peoria Farm Show, I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.